like to turn to a portion of reading. We're going to look at the very last chapter of the Bible today. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. We have a thought upon our heart. It's kind of a strange one. I don't know really how it's going to come out. I know that the Lord laid it upon our heart yesterday, and we've been trying to think about it and trying to see where the Lord would have for us to go with it. Our thought this morning would be, when all is said and done. I was thinking about the end. And I'm not necessarily talking about the end of time. The end of time is important. I believe it's important that we understand the end of time. That's not really our message this morning. But I want to talk about the ending. The other day, and Mom will kind of laugh. She was there yesterday as I was at her house before going over to Eastside for their dinner. I had this book that I had been reading. And it was one that I had just gotten into. And my mind is very analytical. When I start reading, and I love murder mysteries. I like to figure out who did it. And I always think I know who is going to be the perpetrator. Well, the writer of this book, he did a fantastic job of pulling a quick one over on me. And I was sitting there and I got to the very plot line of the book. And I said, no, that can't be how it ends. That's not how it's supposed to go. I thought I had it figured out. I thought I knew how it was going to end. Well, I was wrong. I was very wrong on who the actual murderer was. I thought that I had it figured out. You see, being in the legal profession, our minds work that way a lot of times, especially if you work in criminal law. You try to figure out the who did it and the hows and the whys. And so that's why I really enjoy those books. It makes my mind work, and I was completely wrong. You see, a writer, when he writes a book, he is writing for the end. And a lot of times, they have the end already in mind. They already know how they're going to end the book. They just got to get there. They just got to figure out how in the world am I going to get every plot line to match up so when we get to the end, everything comes together. And the ending is so very important. I want to encourage you today, if you're writing a book, please don't write it the way he did, because I will leave mad and upset every single time. I'm still upset about it. I have had about 24 hours to digest it, and I'm still not happy with the way that book ended. But I am happy with the way this book ends, though. I'm glad of the way that it ends. Let's look at the 7th verse of this 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. This is Jesus. There are some red letters here. And this was something that Christ spoke. Now, obviously, John the Revelator was the one who the Lord gave the revelation to. And it's 22 chapters long. The first few chapters, we have some books or some letters to churches that are very important. Some people have some thoughts about what those church letters are. Some say they are actual periods of time. I believe they were actual churches that got those letters. And I believe they're applicable to us today. But as you get into Revelation, there are lots of things about the end of time that are supposed to happen before our time concludes on this side of eternity. The one thing I want to say about the Bible this morning is it's alive. I believe that. I don't believe the Bible's finished. Well, I'm going to read to you the ending today, but I want you to realize there are still things that prophets spoke about, that those in the New Testament, they talked about. They're still happening today. The Bible has not concluded itself, and the reason that I say that, the very moment that the Bible and everything that's in it has come to a conclusion, our time is up. This life comes to an end, and there is no more time. I believe the very moment that the last jot and tittle of the Bible is completed, the Lord returns. I believe there are things he has to get through, though. But the one thing I want to say, and you may say, preacher, that sounds like I've got a lot of time. Well, I want to make mention of some things. The Lord can do things very quickly. Read what he says with us this morning. Behold, I come quickly. I told you he can do things very quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which kept the saying of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Again, Christ is going to say, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, and they that might have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's look at that last thing that was written. The word amen. Most of you all have heard it. We've been around a Baptist church long enough to know that sometimes during a sermon someone will say amen. Every now and then someone will get up and they will testify. And at the end of their testimony, someone will say, Amen. What amen means is, let it be, or so be it. Or it's a confirmation of what's been said. Now I want you to realize the Bible spans thousands and thousands and thousands of years. It's been over 2,000 years since Jesus died on the cross and rose again that third day. And the things that have been accomplished since then have been amazing. God has done some great things since Jesus Christ died on that old cross. There are things that are still happening based off of Scripture. There are things that are being accomplished daily that are still supposed to take place. I've quoted it a lot, Matthew 28 and the Great Commission. That is something that a church must never fail to do. But I want to look at when things are all said and all done. I was thinking about John the Revelator. And I was thinking how the Lord had opened some things to him, and he saw things in my mind and my heart they cannot understand. I don't understand all the figurative language and the symbolic nature of Revelation. There are things that you and I, guess what, we'll never understand about the Bible. We're not meant to understand everything. Our feeble minds, they don't have the ability to grasp some of the things that God has allowed for John to tell us. And again, a lot of it is apocalyptic things. Things that must happen before the end of time. But I want to ask you this morning, when things are all said and done, how is it going to be with you, lost or saved? I thought as he wrote this book, and I like how he ends the Bible. I think about this ending a lot and what John said, and he almost ends it like he's writing a letter. He says, The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, let's go back a little bit, and a whole lot bit, I guess. Turn to the first chapter of the book of the Bible. We're going to look at the ending, but we're also going to look at where we started from. And if I can get there, we've got a lot of pages here at the beginning of the Bible to look through. Genesis chapter 1. It says, In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So in the beginning, God has created for 6 days. God has taken something that was not there, and he's created a world on it. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. We read over in one of the Gospels, I believe it's John. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." Now, I don't understand how that God was formed. I don't understand where God came from. And guess what? I'm not supposed to understand that. God is a being that has been and will always be. He has no end. Now, Jesus said, "I am the beginning and I am the end." He says that in the first chapter of the book of Revelations. "I'm the Alpha. I'm the starting place. And I'm the ending place. I'm Omega. I'm the last." Well, I want you to realize this morning, every last one of us had a start, or will or should have a start, in Jesus Christ. When God saved our soul, we just begin a journey that takes us through our life. Now, it doesn't matter what age you get saved at. I would much rather people get saved at a very young age. That way they have a long life to spend serving the Lord. But when we look at the very beginning of time, there was nobody. There was no you. There was no I. But on that sixth day, God created a man and he gave him a woman. And I may have preached this a little bit last night, but he breathed the breath of life into them. And he made them out of the dust of the earth. He formed them in his image. That's the beginning. You see, as you read a book, you want to know where everything starts. If you've ever read a book, you want to get hooked in the very first chapter. The author's writings are supposed to hook you so that you go all the way through. But what about when it's all said and done? I've thought about many times about the scripture that says we are more than conquerors. Guess what? We are set in this world to overcome. Now I want you to realize something. When God created us, He made us as a fallible being. That meaning that we have the ability to die. And guess what? Our bodies, they are temporal. They are not made to stay here forever. When He created man, He created them so that they would be in His image. Now I want to say this. In the Garden of Eden, God created Adam, and he was a perfect specimen of a being. But the very moment that Adam sinned in the garden, sin came in and our bodies, our lives, they began to deteriorate. God gave every last one of us the ability to choose and to have free will. God allows us to go and to do the things that we would like to do or that we must do in our own minds and our own hearts. Now, some might say God made a mistake when he gave men free will. I don't think God has ever made a mistake. I think God knew exactly before the world was ever formed that we would do exactly what we did over there in the Garden of Eden. I believe he knew that. I believe he knew. Why do I believe that? Because God himself tells us that Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Meaning that he knew that there had to be a sacrifice. You know, this is all part of God's plan. You see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. You know, have you ever thought about the beginning of something? You think about the start of Mount Calvary Church. Back in 1970, there was no Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church on Knowlesville Road. There wasn't. Maybe there was some thoughts about a mission that would be established on Knowlesville Road, but guess what? At some time, it had to begin. Everything except God has a beginning. You have one. You also have an ending. Now, from the time that Genesis was recorded until we get down to here in Revelations, we have seen wars, we have seen people die, we have seen a Savior come to die for our sins. And then you get the book of Revelation. And people get torn up about the book of Revelation. They're looking at it from a worldly point of view, but the way that you must look at it is from a spiritual point of view. And the way that we must understand the ending for everything that we do, if God is in it, it will be perfect. I was thinking about my ending. You may say, well, that's a little creepy. Well, guess what? We all are writing our own books. And you may not agree with that, but our lives, they have chapters in them. Every one of us has a chapter or two that we would like to erase. That if we could have some of that magic whiteout stuff, that we would take things out. Well, guess what? Our lives are exactly what they are. But they do have an ending. And as John was writing here, and he was ending this book, and I like the way he ends it. You see, the ending of everything is important. You know, John almost acted like he was ending his sermon, really. When he gives an invitation, when he gives the invitation, as a message comes to a conclusion, one of the greatest or one of the most important parts is how you end it. Why? Because the invitation is what must be there so that those that are lost, they might be able to seek the Lord. Now, you don't have to come during an invitational to seek Christ, but an invitational is important. Invitational, when you think of the ending of a sermon, I've heard a lot of good sermons. Those that have stood and they've preached great things, and then you get down and they invite someone to come and seek Christ, and it's all wrong. See, the ending is important. I told you our lives are books. The ending is important. You see, I have said this at funerals a lot recently. Everything we do is in that little dash on our tombstone. Every one of us. My date to begin was February 1st of 1993. You see, I've had 24, almost, it'll be 25 years in February, that I've had to live my life. You see, as John was writing here, he knew the Bible was about to end. And so he had to figure out a way to end it. And as he ended it, and I believe that God gave him the words and the utterance to do that. And as I thought about this 21st verse, and that would be our lesson text this morning. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You see, for children of God, the grace of God must be the chapter, it must be in every chapter of our book. But therefore, it must be an important part to the end of our book, to the end of our lives, to the end of our story. You know, if you thought about what story you really tell, as John was writing the Revelation letter, and again, he was writing about some end time things. He was writing about things that were going to take place. You see, and as he ended that book, and he ends it with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, always. You know, Jesus said one of the almost exact same things in that Great Commission. He says, lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. So see, he was looking toward an ending. Every one of us, whether you're here today and you're 5 or 205, you're looking toward an ending. We're all looking toward what's going to happen in the end. You see, it's important that as we live our lives, that our ending is very important to us. I've heard an old song that Randy Fox used to sing, and it says, I'm insured beyond the grave. A few weeks ago, I went and I put insurance on my car and my apartment for here in Tennessee. You see, I'm not really expecting anything to happen, but it could. You see, as we look at the end of this book, and the way that he ends it, and I want to go through it just a little bit, and again, I'm not going to try to worry your patience much this morning. But you know, everybody that has had an ending, they need to think about, everybody that's looking toward their ending needs to think about what was said here in this 18th through the 21st verse. It says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written into this book. There's one thing that we cannot do about our own books. We can't add things to it that God hasn't added to it. We can't add things to our own things, our own story that God doesn't allow there. But I want to look at what John was saying right here. When we look at the Bible, God inspired it from the very first word that was ever written. And I believe God intends for every word to be fulfilled. And I believe God intends the Bible to stand even when the world has come to an end, because it'll be a witness against those that die lost. And he's saying, don't add anything to it. Why do you not add anything to it? Because it's perfect. Now, I want to say this. I don't believe this transcript that we have. I don't believe it's perfect. I believe the King James Version of the Bible, I believe it has its mistakes. But I'll say this about the Bible itself. It was inspired by God and given to men so that they could pin down. And you see, you look in these other books of this Bible. You look in Timothy. You know how they all end? They almost all end with an amen or something to that effect. But you get down here and he says, those that add, I'm going to add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So if you get down to the end and you've added to it, I'm going to add plagues to you. And then you get down and he says, and if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Now, I've heard a lot of people that will say God will take away your salvation based off of that. God's not taking away our salvation. What he means by that is those that have taken parts out, those that have knowingly deceived those people and have gotten down to the end, their ending's not going to be necessarily what they have claimed that it would be. Have you ever thought about those that are deceiving people in this life? Those that are going about to deceive those in churches all around the world today. There are many people that are standing and they're trying to proclaim something they know nothing about. They know nothing about the end. And they're adding and they're taking away out of the books of this prophecy. And God said he shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I want to look at one more place this morning, if God will help us. And I was thinking about another man's ending. And I like what he says as he was coming down to the end of his life. You know, as John wrote that revelation there, and he ended it with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So be it. Let it be. I thought about what Paul said in 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter. And if you will, let's turn there for just a few moments today. The 4th chapter of the book of 2 Timothy. The 6th verse. It says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Now you talk about somebody that had the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with him. The only way that Paul could be that way going out of here, and we talked about Stephen a little bit this morning in our Sunday school lesson. We know that Stephen, as he was ending his book or his life here on earth, he was being stoned to death, and he looked up and Jesus allowed him to see over into heaven. And he said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. People talk about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, guess what? In our very last day, in our very last moments, throughout our entire life, the thing that drives us, that keeps us, that allows us to keep going, is grace. God's ability to allow us to live today is through and by grace. And as Paul was writing to Timothy, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought that good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. I have done the things that God has asked me to do. And now it's time to go. But what awaits me? There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. You see, every one of us, as Revelation had to come to an end, as no doubt Paul's life had to come to an end, we all must face an end. We all must face an end in everything in our lives. I believe there's an old saying, every good thing must come to an end. But I want you to realize this morning, even at our end, there's always a new beginning. It's a new beginning. Do you believe that? When he says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. That's the end of Revelation. But do you realize we're 2,000 years, we're thousands of years after that. And the Bible's still here, we're still here. So see, the Bible might have concluded. Those words may have ended there with amen. So be it. Let everything in the Bible, let it be. Let the things that have stood, let them continue to stand. You see, Paul's been gone many, many years. He's received that crown of righteousness that was laid up for him. But you see, we're still going on and we're still talking about him. We're still preaching about Paul. We're still talking about his end. Someday when this life is over and all is said and done and our end has happened, there's a new beginning for all of us. For you too, lost people, there's a new beginning for you. You see, that new beginning is in an eternal place. You see, I've told you that every good thing must come to an end. There's one thing that will never end, and that's eternity. We sing the song from time to time. I don't know how I'll thank him when at last I'm home, but eternity's a long, long, long time. You see, I'm already thinking about vacation. And I know that in a week after we leave, guess what? It has to end. You see, I think about the ending a lot. Anytime I start to read something or I start to do something, I was joking around with somebody the other day. As I start that job with the Department of Revenue, I thought, well, you know, I don't know how long I'll be there, but I'm already thinking about retirement. I'm 24 years old. I've got a long time before that gets here. But every one of us start to think about the end. I want to ask you something this morning. If the book of your life were to close today, would you have done everything that you've wanted to do, that you should have done, that you wanted to accomplish? Would you have made every move that God had allowed you to make? Would you have done everything that God has placed on you? You see, when our life is over, there's no more working for Christ. The Bible says, let man work while it is day, for the night cometh and no man works. I remember when Jesus was going to the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, stay here and you pray while I go. He said, pray with me. But he looked back and you know what he saw them doing behind him? He saw them asleep. Now Jesus, as he was nearing the end of his time here on earth, he thought those behind him, his disciples, he thought, surely they'll pray with me. And they fell asleep. I don't want our end to be asleep. I don't want those around us, this church. I'm not expecting an end of Mount Calvary anytime soon. I'm expecting God to still meet here when the Lord comes back. I'm still expecting that. But you see, we cannot fall asleep. Even if we think we're nearing our end. We're not supposed to give up or get downhearted or give up on serving God. We still have a mile to go. As John the Revelator was there on the Isle of Patmos, and I'm sure he probably thought that was his end. God allowed him in his days there to see things that would bless people for years and years and years to come. And guess what? We're looking at it today. Years, many thousands of years after Paul or John wrote this ending of Revelation. I'm reminded by what he said here in the 20th verse, and I'm going to close. He says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Now, I'm not wanting time to end for those that are lost around me. But I sometimes get a lot like old John. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Again, saved here today. Are you doing everything that God has asked you to do? You see, you might think that your book is about over. But guess what? You still have pages as long as God is allowing you to breathe. You need to take every opportunity that God is giving you to serve the Lord. If you're here today and lost, you need to take the opportunity today to seek Him. Because in that invitation, it says the Spirit and the Bride, they say, come. Him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's an invitation today, brothers and sisters. That's an invitation for those that are lost and separated from this world. It should be our invitation to the very end. You see, our services over the years, they've changed. Sometimes the way that we preach, they change. But there are some things that should never change. One thing that should always stay until the very end is the acknowledgement that you can come to the Lord, even until the very end. I want to read that last verse there, the 21st verse, one more time. And I pray that this is something that stays with us as long as we live. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I think it's a fitting bookend to the Bible to say amen. So be it. Let it be. It's a confirmation. John knew, I believe, that he was writing the last words that would be written in the Scriptures. I think he knew that he was writing the last thing that we would, when we open the Bible, we see Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created. In the end, it says amen. So everything from in the beginning to amen is the story of not only the lives of thousands of people that have tried to serve the Lord, but it's also the way that you and I have the ability to come to the Lord when this life is over. In the beginning, God created everything. Revelation tells us a lot about how He's going to destroy everything. But the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, let it be with you all. Amen. So be it. Let it be. It's a confirmation today. I want you to realize there's a lot of things I don't know. There's a lot of things I don't understand. But there's a few things that I can confirm. God is real. He's still saving. There's still breath in your body. You still have time to be saved. Amen. May God help you today as we stand together and while we sing.